There you go. That was Britney Spears' Toxic. Now, we played that song because over the past 3 days, I've been at a media event in Malaysia for Air Asia. And one of the cabin stewards went viral with his own version of Toxic by Britney Spears. A guy called Asraf Nasir got 19 million online hits for that. And obviously for the airline. So he's a bit of a hero to this particular airline. And at the event that was staged at their Apple or Microsoft-like campus, sort of all very trendy, beanbags everywhere and open plan, and the boss just sits at a normal desk like everybody else. Asraf was one of the stars of the event, and he got a bunch of, I'd like to say they were flight stewardesses, is that the right word?
Attendants.
A female flight attendants, all dressed in the uniform of Air Asia, beautiful red uniform. I'd like to say that they were, but they dance incredibly well. I'm not sure if they were or not, but he is, and everybody in the crowd loved it. Now, I went over there expecting a one-on-one interview with the CEO, but there were more than 200 journalists. This guy, Tony Fernandez, he pulled more people than Donald Trump to a media call, I tell you. There were at least 200 journalists. There were bloggers. There were influencers. Tony's very straight. He's got a Tan Sri honorific in Malaysia, which is the second highest honour. He is a Malaysian, and he's clearly adored by his young, enthusiastic staff. But it's call me Tony. You know, don't worry about the formalities. And he's a really interesting character. I joined in trying to speak to him. The throng were gathered around him. He does run what is now Australia's largest discount airline, the airline he founded, and his philosophy and his plans for the future were things that were of interest. And look, I have to apologise in advance about the audio quality. It's not optimum, but it was a difficult environment which we had to record, and clearly I think this is an important and a growing player in our own airline market here in Australia.
Tony, Graham Kemlow, Travel Writers Radio in Australia. Congratulations on what you've achieved. Just quickly, how long have you been in the business? What gave you the idea to start AirAsia?
Oh, wow. That's 16 years. 16 years. I was in the music business, selling Crowded House and Midnight Oil. Actually, I wasn't selling that. I wanted to sell that. There were another label. Our band, our Australian band, was in excess. And I got tired of piracy. And I was really against the merger with AOL. I flew back from New York to London after having quit, sitting in a bar, and I saw Stelios of EasyJet. There's a very fine line between brilliance and stupidity. So I went to Luton Airport and I decided I want to start an airline. That's it. 2001. 3 days before 9/11, we bought AirAsia. And the rest is history. I'm going to give you another little story, actually. The first food we ever had in AirAsia. So I told, we couldn't afford it. We had no money. So I canceled all the meals. I said, no more free food. We will charge for food. Right? And I said, most of the time, you don't want the food anyway that you're given by the airline, right? Stewardess puts it on there. Generally, you don't need it anyway, right? Fish or beef, chicken or beef or whatever. So I told the crew, no more food. We will sell food. The night before the first flight without food, one of the leading cabin crew said to me, Tony, I thought we were going to sell food. And I went, oh yeah, forgot. So we all drove to Carrefour, three of us, and we bought whatever we could in Carrefour. And we just put it in the boot, came back, gave it to the cabin crew, and they said, how much do we sell it for? I said, I don't know, you're all Tupperware salespeople, sell it for whatever you want. And that was the start of in-flight food. Carrefour food. And since then, we've developed a little bit more, but that was how we began.
I like what you said today about helping farmers and people from all of the ASEAN countries who are represented in AirAsia. Have you got any ideas for an Aussie item on the menu?
Yeah. Well, we couldn't have a Barbie there. There'd be a slight aviation rules. But I mean, look, as I said, we developed an ASEAN airline, we've become Asian, and we consider Australia part of Asia anyway. So that's Catherine and Hassan's challenge. is to Nauru, because we have a lot of Australians travelling with us. We generally find they're probably the most adventurous and want to try different food anyway. Who knows? Nothing strikes my mind straight away that's easy to replicate on the plane. And I haven't seen anything on Qantas that grabs me. So we'll go and look for something. And just for you, we'll find something. And if any of your listeners are out there with ideas, or if you have any ideas, what's your suggestion?
Well, the obvious one's pie and sauce.
Right.
But okay. Maybe Vegemite. You grew up in the UK.
Vegemite. Oh, my word. Vegemite sandwich.
Yeah.
That sounds too much like the school I went to. But pies is something we're looking at, truth be known. We have curry puffs. They thought I was mad when I suggested curry puffs. And the great thing about curry puff, you can put anything in there. And now the person, we gave him a very hard task of making it without flaking. So it's very hard to make those kind of things without flaking, because it's a nightmare for the crew to clean the aircraft. So they've done that, and now Catherine is looking for pies. So yeah, we'll give you an Australian pie. And hopefully some Asians will buy it, because I doubt the Australians will. They want to try all kinds of different things.
No, that's probably true. Is your initial move to start a low-cost airline, can you continue to do that, or do you think there's going to be a point at which you'll have to find other ways generate revenue?
No, I mean, I think we are a Walmart, we are a Uniqlo, we're all about volume, the drive, and I thought our food is too expensive, and so I'm asking Catherine and Hassan to drive it down and replace the lost revenue with more volume. So no, I think we'll always be a low cost. We have to be. I mean, some of the Australian airlines lost their DNA and moved up the value chain. Mm. And I think they lost their whole purpose of existing. No, we're a low cost airline. 16 years, we've had the same product. But low cost doesn't mean low quality. I mean, you look at our cabin crew out there, it's as proud a day for me watching them in action as it is tasting the food. No, I think we can still be low cost but high quality, and we give you a choice. You want the food, you buy. You don't want it, you have a very cheap ticket and you starve. It's really up to you, right? But the challenge is, and I say to Catherine and Hassan, the challenge is to make food that people will wait and not eat before, because they're looking forward to eat on AirAsia. That's the challenge. I'm a free marketeer. I hate the announcements where they say don't bring on food and all that kind of stuff, right? We have to do it a little bit because some Malaysians can bring in a fruit which would destroy the aircraft, called durian. or have pork feet or whatever there, right? Suckling pork, they bring a whole pig onto the plane. So we got to be a little bit careful, but really it's not because we are afraid of competition. We've got to be brave enough to say our food is as good as anything that anyone can buy and as good value. And that's the challenge, right?
Can I also just ask you, what percentage of your business is leisure and what percentage is business?
I don't honestly know. It's something we've never really studied. But the more and more I see, because I always walk around the plane and say hello to everybody. And I see a lot of bankers now. I see a lot of guys dressed up like this. I'm not dressed up. I don't normally wear this. But we had an annual general meeting, so I dressed up like this. But I see a lot more suits in our aircraft now. I would estimate 20-25% is business. If I add in small, medium enterprises, I think about 35-40% is that. But I don't really know. It's guesstimate at the moment.
Okay.
It's so hard in Asia because there's so much great food. Right?
Yeah.
Where do we draw the line? What I'm trying to do, because we don't have a lot of time, it's all about efficiency. When you go to McDonald's, and I'm not saying we're McDonald's, by the way, you generally know what you're going to eat, right? You generally know. When you go to a Vietnamese noodle shop, you know what you're going to order. You don't have to look at the menu, right? Unless you're Australian or Malaysian, then you know what you're going to order. So the first thing is to just simplify the menu so everyone knows what's on there. Then we're going to have some specific dishes for others. Obviously, we're trying to start an airline in Vietnam. So Vietnamese baguette will come back, without a doubt. It's so hard to know what people want on the day. So we could provide Australian food, but they'd eat Vietnamese all the time, right? That particular group of Australians made. We try and get people to pre-order as much as possible. And pre-ordering is a way that could help. One of the things is we don't want to waste the food. So we had wastage of about 22%, right, where we just throw away the food. And I think that's horrific with our green environmental thing. So first thing is to cut down. We take your feedback. We'll also have, for certain flights, some specific dishes for that flight as well, right? And as popularity grows, we don't. I don't really want to change a menu that often. I'd like it to become, you kind of know what you're going to get. In a lot of ways, I'm trying to emulate McDonald's. Not in the type of food, but in the type of efficiency, in the type of, you know the menu. Wherever you go in the world, you can get a Big Mac, right? So we've kind of done that with some of our dishes. Nasi lemak is like a number one dish in the Philippines, which is unbelievable to me. I'm about, or we're about, creating. Creating markets, creating new business, not disruption, not taking other people's business, right? You look at how many Malaysians are going to Ho Chi Minh City. That didn't happen before AirAsia, right? So I'm about creating markets, creating new businesses, not stealing market share. That's not what we're about. And we believe Asia is at the beginning of a huge, long growth. You can drive from one end of Australia to another if you want. You can take a train. You can't really drive from KL to Hanoi. Well, you can. Bit of a lunatic, but you can. And you're not going to take a boat from KL to Jakarta, right? So as we get richer, as the middle class grows, as we discover new destinations, like we flew to Sihanoukville. No one is flying to Sihanoukville, right? It's a beautiful part of the world in Cambodia. Cambodia is like, again, when we went to Cambodia, we saw so much potential in Cambodia. And the people are amazing, and the students are so energetic. So, you know, that's what we're about. You know, when I started AirAsia, it took us 7 years to get a flight between Kuala Lumpur and Singapore. 7 years. One of the press who's out there, she asked me, Tony, don't you get bored fighting for this route? I'm bored writing about it. And I said, well, it's my job, right? I got to fight for this. But now, you look, and that was the most popular route in the world at that time, KL Singapore, or in ASEAN. Now, it has gone up by 4 times. And you try and get a seat on AirAsia, you can't. I can't. I had to fly on Singapore Airlines the other day. It was horrifically embarrassing, you know? Of course, I wore my cap, everything's there. You know, I'm like, I can't get a seat before you ask me, everybody. So we're about creating demand.
That was the group CEO and founder of AirAsia, Tony Fernandez. It's really interesting experience to be there with all those bloggers. And you know, there are a few what I'll call fair income journalists there, but the community of young kids from all over the place was just phenomenal. And I did fly on AirAsia X. X is for the long distance segment of his airline, Melbourne KL. And while it's a low cost airline, you pay for the things you take for granted on a full service airline, like a blanket. And they did run the aircraft fairly cool. I was a bit chilly, but you could rent a blanket if you wanted one. You pay for any beverage, any snacks. There's no video or audio. But the cabin crew were great. The food, actually, I found incredibly tasty, probably as good as I've ever had on an aircraft. And the onboard innovation was interesting. I was seated in what's called a quiet zone. I think effectively it's their business class. There were people in front of me who had layback flat beds, and down the back was a bit of a sardine can appearance. But you pay a small premium to go into this quiet zone. I think it was good value. But again, it was all organised by AirAsia for me. You're listening to the Travel Writers Show on JAIR 87.8 FM.